News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Well, it's been quite a 12 months, but I am celebrating my birthday today.
Woohoo!
And a lot of people are. I'm getting a lot of notifications and things like that, so a little bit distracted. I apologize for that. Let me put my phone down.
Hey, that's plenty good reason to be distracted.
Yeah.
Having a birthday.
Yeah, man. So, Voodoo Wings tonight. We got that going on.
Mm-hmm.
Tiger Talk Overtime.
Some candles in your wings for you.
That'd be nice. You're going to challenge yourself for the ultimate hot wing?
You know, the hottest one they have at Voodoo Wing Company, the Bomb.
Yeah.
I guess it was a couple months ago, I went in and I said, I'm going to have the hottest one they've got.
Yeah, and you did fine with it, right?
I was fine. I was prepared. And then last week on a whim, I was like, I'm going to go ahead and do that again. Get the Bomb. But I did not prepare myself this time. I didn't go into battle with my head correctly on my shoulders. And
different reaction.
Totally different reaction. Yeah, I just wasn't. I wasn't ready for war. Right.
I remember.
You got to be ready to roll when you're going against the hottest wings.
Yeah, but what would you do differently?
Just maybe a little more grit. Bite down on my mouthpiece and get it done with.
So, chili cook-off. 10 years ago, maybe longer than that. Somebody, as a joke, handed me some chili that was, and I was a judge, and somebody handed me some chili that was the hottest of all time.
Yeah.
And it was right at the end of the event.
Ah.
And we were announcing the winners and everything like that. And he kind of backed away, like smiling, like he just lit a bomb or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because he did.
And I remember that night I was watching football. It was like 7:30 at night. I still had the tingling.
Oh, my goodness.
On my lips.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful with that kind of stuff.
Everyone has a story about the hottest whatever they ate. I remember my dad talking about they went to some, a Chinese restaurant in like Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some pepper that made its way into his food that he wasn't expecting. And he ended up just absolutely dying.
Making a scene.
Yeah, I think everyone has one of those stories.
Collapsing in the parking lot.
Something along those lines.
Yeah.
Hey, this is really cool. I guess we're becoming like Hollywood South here along the Gulf Coast. There are so many things going on here and so many people around Mobile that will be on reality shows.
Really?
Let me run through some of this. So
okay.
First off, now there is a new film being shot in Baldwin County, and we know the name of the movie. It will be called Bruiser, but we don't know who is in the cast so far. WKR.
Alec Baldwin is Duck.
I hope he is not in the cast. I would go ahead and guess there's a good chance that our guy from Nicolas Cage.
From everything.
Either Nicolas Cage is in it or Morgan Freeman or Bruce Willis. And if neither of them are in it, then I have no idea. Because it seems like they're in every movie that comes from Mobile. But they are filming majority of the film in Fairhope, Daphne, and Spanish Fort. So that'll be pretty cool. They're going to film some driving scenes in rural Baldwin County. They began production Tuesday, and they think they'll be done by mid-March. So it'll be cool to see who's in that. But then before anyone watches that movie, there are some reality shows that are coming out featuring folks from around here. On American Idol, they will debut their new season February 27th. That'll be the 20th season of American Idol. And 24-year-old Tyler Allen is seen in the new trailer for the new season.
Okay.
And he graduated from the University of Mobile. And
you got a great music department there.
They do. They said he was a part of the Voices of Mobile. I don't know if that's part of UM or what exactly that is. But he will be apparently on TikTok, on American Idol. And he has a huge social media following, 25,700 followers on YouTube, 71,000 on Instagram.
Wow.
And 7.6 million likes on TikTok. So that's one reality show contestant for Mobile, 24-year-old Tyler Allen. And then one of my favorite shows, make fun of me if you must, but I love the show Survivor. Been watching it forever. And there will be a gentleman from Gulf Shores on that show in the next season. It debuts March 5th, the new season of Survivor, or March 9th, I apologize, the 42nd season of Survivor. And Jonathan Young out of Gulf Shores will be on that show. And KRG, last week or maybe a couple weeks ago, went down and talked to a lot of friends of Young, and they said he's just a cool guy, one of a really good dude. So he'll be on Survivor. So that's American Idol, then Survivor.
Yeah.
And then there is a doctor from USA Health who has apparently a really popular YouTube channel. Larry Melick is with USA Health. Have you ever seen...
That name is familiar.
It does sound familiar, right? Yeah. Well, there's a Ray Melick, who's unrelated, who comes on from 1819 News, comes on...
That's what it was.
FM Talk 106.5. But Larry Melick, a doctor here in Mobile with USA Health, has a... have you ever seen Dr. Pimple Popper? Have you ever heard of that or seen it?
No.
There are people that... And it disgusts me.
Of course it does.
It is... I mean, I can't handle it.
The words... Put me in a funk.
It's disgusting. And she pops more than pimples, cysts, whatever. She'll pop it. If it makes disgusting noises and visuals, she'll do it. So apparently, and I know some people, even in my own family, that love that show for some reason, disgusts me. But this doctor from Mobile apparently removes things from people's bodies that get stuck in them, like maybe a nail through the heel. Or
more awkward examples out there.
Yeah, so he's going to be in a series on TLC called Stuck.
Get it out of there.
Get it out of me. this will come on after Dr. Pimple Popper.
By the way, so 48 Hours? What's the show that
48 Hours?
48 Hours, but which one is the Mobile Police Department?
I think it's that one.
Okay,
yeah.
So I've got... You know, I've got nephews in Seattle. One came to
first
town.
48.
First 48. I've got one nephew that's like, I ain't going to Mobile.
Because of that show?
Because of that show. Because it only shows, you know, the
crime.
The crime. And there's plenty of it for sure. But that's all you see. And so his impression of Mobile is, wow, that's a bad place. Mm-hmm. Also, American Idol, we've got our history with that.
Let me know what's the deal. Am I in? Am I
not? He was not, by the way. He was not in. That's Wells, the Wells guy that has since been jailed a few times, I believe.
I think so, yeah.
And also, what was the other? Oh, so years ago on a April Fool's, I had a friend of mine in radio from up in Vermont. He had a real distinguished voice. He came on as the producer of the show Survivor, and was announcing that Shelby had won her way onto Survivor.
Did Shelby know about this or no?
She did.
Okay.
So everybody believed it. If we had a text line over there at the country radio, it would have been all lined up with people giving her advice and all of this. And the story went so kind of viral in the community. Uh-huh. She would go places and people would just say, this is amazing. You're going to be on Survivor. And I think it was her dentist's office. They got so mad when they found out that was a falsehood. They wouldn't talk to her. The girls in the dentist's office like turned on her. Like,
wow.
That was like Survivor was their favorite show, and for you to have the audacity. And we were like saying it was an April Fool's
show. It was just
a
joke.
Right.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
They took it personally and would not talk to her.
Well, we've had JT, can't remember his last name. He's from Mobile. He did really well on Survivor. And I think Rob and Amber, who were two of the early Survivor contestants and the most famous, I think they moved to Pensacola for a time. So some connections there.
Yeah, and again, Leroy Wells, number one in my heart.
Yeah, you did.
He was the one that came out. He did his audition, if you want to call it that. You've seen it, right?
Yeah, you showed me.
That's pretty random. Like, did he think he was going to get on the show?
I think he did.
Anyway, he did his audition in New Orleans, and it was one of those highlights of the early season of American Idol, early in the season where they show the people who are worse than bad.
Yeah. So anyway, it's pretty interesting. So many reality shows coming out featuring folks from around here, and then you have that movie being shot. Very cool. Very cool to be part of Mobile, or if you're on the other side, part of Baldwin County.
And I got to say, you know, Fairhope Film Festival is a pretty big deal.
Mm-hmm.
This year's winner.
Your boy.
Joseph Brennan.
That's right.
Fairhope Film Festival. So, yeah, a lot of talent around here.
Coming up, we're going to tie the Canadian trucker protests to Mobile and Baldwin counties. How are we related to what's going on in Canada? I'll tell you.
We got a connection?
We have a connection.
It is 16 minutes after 8 o'clock on FM Talk 106. Morning from Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, FM Talk 106.5, 821.
Let's see here.
Yeah, okay. We just want to let everybody know we got Rob on the way from Lanyap.
Yeah.
And he also did some duty earlier in the week. I think he helped us out a little bit. So anyway, it's 8:21.
Voicemail to get to here on Dan's birthday. Let's see what we have here from BA.
Wishing a happy birthday to the one and only Dan Brennan.
That must have been one of the Buffer brothers, I guess. I don't know.
Sounds like
Bruce or Michael.
I'm like a small forward for the Bulls there.
Got him, Pippen! Yeah. And you just ripped off those pants that they take off before the game starts.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
So, I did.
So I mentioned I was going to tie together what's happening in Canada with that trucker, the nationwide trucker protests, and here at home. And, you know, there's been a huge, huge deal made about, and not a big enough deal, I believe, even though a lot of people have been talking about it, but with Canada doing their version of, you know, national emergency powers, which would traditionally, I guess, be for a terrorist attack or something like that. And you know, the PM, Trudeau, has basically called these truckers terrorists. What the banks are doing up there, shutting down bank accounts of people who are believed to be part of this protest, it's absolutely not something you would expect from a country like Canada. And then on top of that, someone hacked into, remember, so they started with GoFundMe. They were raising money for the protests through GoFundMe.
And by the way, getting funded.
Yeah, yeah, a lot, millions of dollars. And then GoFundMe paused that, said that they were instead going to put the money into what they believed were better charity causes. That caused an uproar because everyone who donated, and even didn't donate, said,
that's where the money's supposed to go.
What are you doing?
Right.
Yeah, either give it to them or give us our money back. So GoFundMe, you know, tucked tail and ended up giving the money back. So then they started putting money into this Christian charity organization called Give, Send, Go. And someone in Canada hacked Give, Send, Go to find out who all donated to this trucker convoy. And then they doxed those people, gave out their information, and said who it was that helped put into this. And then people began getting fired. I know someone who worked for some governmental organization in Canada was let go, even though she only put up $100 or so. This reporter in Canada did a story about a woman who runs it's a diner or a bakery or some confection shop, and she donated $250. Her name was put out there, and then she had threats put on her business and on her life for donating $200 or $250 to a cause that she believed just.
Amazing.
So the Washington Post put out this story. So many of the donations to the trucker protest have come from the U.S. There have been more than 55,000 U.S.-based donations through that Christian site, Give, Send, Go. And what Washington Post did here, I don't know if they doxed anyone, although I wouldn't put it past them. They took a big zip code map of the U.S. and showed where much of the money in these donations was coming from. And one of the first things I zoomed in on was our area right here. And so they do it by zip code. They found that with this Give, Send, Go, and tell me if you're surprised by this, the amount of money. So zip codes that start with 365, they had 59 donors, totaling $3,760 that were sent from nearly 60 donors from zip code starting with 365 up to Canada. Then zip code starting with 366, which would involve a lot of us here, 25 donors totaling $1,300 that were sent up to Canada. Then you cross the border into Florida, zip code starting with 325, totaling $12,500 of donations going up to Canada. So a lot of folks in the listening area here donated quite a bit of money.
Probably seeing, they're hearing the story, you know, not to be too assume, you know, assume too much, but they're hearing the story on FM Talk 106.5. They're hearing us talk about it on FM Talk 106.5. They're probably watching it and seeing it on Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
And they are obviously sympathizing with the truckers. And it's really shameful that these people are being outed that way when they make a donation to, like you say, something that they think is
fighting
along their views these truckers should be helped for what they're doing.
Yeah, they feel like they're fighting tyranny, right? And that is what this is. It's a fight against tyranny. And Trudeau, even in even more trouble now, he's saying that some of the Jewish conservatives in Canada support the swastikas or whatever. You know, there's so much misinformation surrounding what's going on up there. At this point, it's really not surprising. But in this Washington Post story, they spoke with, I don't know if they intentionally outed any of these people or if they made sure it was fine with them to post their names. I'm sure they did. They spoke with this one, Alina Danielson, out of Beverly Hills, who donated $100. They said she was asked about leaked data showing a $100 donation with her name and email address. She's a real estate agent in Beverly Hills. So if the info got out that she donated to this quote-unquote conservative
career over,
you would think there would be people in Beverly Hills who wouldn't want to use her as a realtor.
You know, that's maybe there's more common sense out there than we give credit to. You know, let's see how her career moves forward. By the way,
so she said she's 57. She grew up in the Soviet Union, immigrated to Canada in the 90s, and then moved to the U.S. She's married now, has grandchildren. She even said she became vaccinated when it became a condition for international travel. But she's ashamed of what she sees as draconian mandates in Canada. Listen to her.
She would know what they look like.
Yeah, from the Soviet Union. She said, I support the vaccine. I'm glad that everyone who needed it or wanted it is vaccinated. But now we all know that the vaccination status does not prevent from getting it again or spreading COVID. My husband just had it for the second time after getting a booster. If Justin Trudeau was a true leader, he would admit to being wrong and lift the useless mandates. I think this is also why we're seeing a lot more states in the U.S.
No doubt.
A lot more cities kind of back off of these mandates. And a huge portion of that is, of course, the drop in hospitalizations and deaths due to Omicron.
And all these people that have been vaccinated and boosted still getting Omicron.
Yeah.
So now it's like, what's the use of it? Well, I say it's useful in that, for instance, I wasn't hospitalized.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe for many others, that's the same case. But it's like, at this point, look, it's the whole time, but it's got to be a personal choice.
And you said it yesterday. It's almost like, you know, this battle in Canada isn't about COVID anymore. Mm-mm. It's not about vaccines. It's about control.
Mm-hmm.
And Trudeau just seems to be almost
clueless,
egging them on.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. His words, his actions and his words are almost over the top now. So, like, the battle is really on. He's doubling down when at least in the United States, we're seeing those in office, even Democrat states, are going the other way. And even, let's see here, Walensky,
mm-hmm.
She had something to say about it today. Do we have a second? I can find this real quick.
But yeah.
This sounds like, this is more kind of in line with where we're all going at this point. So even Rochelle Walensky, who, you know, you might have had your troubles with as this thing has all gone along, but here's what she said yesterday.
We want to give people a break from things like mask wearing when these metrics are better, and then have the ability to reach for them again should things worsen.
So I don't think that she was she didn't... She says, I guess she was saying very soon, because the metrics are looking good. I don't think she's made any big announcement there, but in any event, we want to give people a break.
Yeah.
What is Trudeau saying?
Well, Trudeau and Gene here on the text line, big Trudeau fan, says, please volunteer to have a trucker blocking you from going to work for 2 weeks and doing it in the name of freedom. I'd love to see what Gene was saying during the protests summer of 2020 when people were blocked and attacked, when BLM protesters and many others were blocking interstates and highways.
Yep.
You know, was that, how can you say that was a peaceful protest and this one isn't? Or vice versa.
Where's our Canadian expert on the text line whose family grew up in the...
The bank thing worries me. Being able to shut down bank accounts like that, scary.
Not good. 830 FM Talk 106.5, Rob Hulbert, Lagniappe Mobile. It's on the way next. It's going to be rainy and maybe even a little stormy later today, it looks like. So if the parade proceeds downtown, just to give you a heads up, it's going to be a little... It's poncho weather.
Poncho.
As our Mexican theme continues.
Yeah, you had the taco-flavored jelly beans earlier.
On the way, you can buy
those for your birthday.
Target. $3.
That's good. Hey, we're working to get Rob Hulbert on the line right now. Looking at a couple texts from our Canadian trucker discussion there. Jay says, valid comparison with BLM. I posted the other day on my personal Facebook, rhetorically asking if it's still the right thing to do to run over protesters for standing in and blocking the road, or if it's only cool if it's brown people. Steadily watching my friend count drop as people notice the post. He said, that's okay. I don't have to wheel the trash to the curb when it does it all on its own. Ed says, Dan, Dalton, good morning. On Canada having the ability to lock up the bank accounts over giving to truckers, I wonder if someone from the USA gave the money, can they seize those accounts? I'm glad I used one of my old accounts that I really don't use anymore. And I don't think they're blocking accounts for people that donated. They're figuring out who is actually taking part in the protest and then keeping them from receiving those funds. But, I mean, we're still talking about Canada. It's not like we're talking about, you know,
Bulgaria.
Yeah, some other country. We're talking about Canada that this is happening. And so much of our money, I mean, basically all of it is wrapped up in the banks. And if they have that, if they answered to Trudeau like that, you know, what happens if the same situation comes to America? What do they do if Biden or whoever the next president is says, hey, these protests that are happening in the Capitol, don't allow them to receive any money. We're going to block all your bank accounts.
How much harm are the truckers' protests doing to the general citizens?
It depends on who you listen to. I'm sure it's annoying, right? I mean, they're blowing their horns. They said some are tearing up property. I think there have been a lot of fake stories put out there, too,
mm-hmm.
Where they've talked about swastikas. And I'm sure there's some bad people that are involved. You know, anytime something like this happens, people rally. But the point is that they're trying to make a point. And Trudeau is fighting that point all the way until...
Tooth and nail,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, it's crazy. But it looks like we have Rob on the line.
Yeah, Rob Holbert with the Lagniap Mobile. Sean talked to a Canadian trucker on his show this week, Rob.
A couple weeks ago. A lot going on there. Hey, Rob, thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all?
Doing good.
Doing great. A lot to get into in this latest issue of Lagniap, which is on stands now, and also online, which is where... Well, Rob, let me tell you, I do both. I read a lot of the stories online, and then I like to pick up a copy whenever I'm near one. And you got some good stuff in this week's issue.
Yeah, you got to get both because there's two different things going on. You know, there's not everything is in that's online is in the paper, but and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's some good stuff. Gabe's got a really good cover story this week on something I think we all knew that Summerdale is a mm-hmm. speed trap, and he's got some pretty interesting statistics in there. Not to mention some really fascinating emails from the chief of police to his officers. Telling them about production, and you know that the just to give you a general idea that department, which covers a town of 1,468 people, in 2019 wrote 4,000 tickets.
Wow,
that's crazy. So you know, a lot of eyes were on Brookside when something similar came out about that town a while
right.
back. But then Summerdale, you know, everyone I know. Who, especially before the Beach Express, Summerdale was like the spot where you'd get pulled over.
Mine was right. Robertsdale. I used to get in Robertsdale because it dipped from like 45 to 30 miles an hour yeah. once you got into Robertsdale. So that's where I got clipped a time or 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's it's always been an issue. You know, I remember even back in college, we all knew that, you know, if you're going through those little towns, you got to watch it. But you know, what they're talking about, you know, in these emails that we got is really basically saying, look, if you want K-9 units, if you want raises, if you want these things, you need to get out there and write tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it shows how dependent the town has become upon writing tickets to people.
Interesting.
And then they talk about also the concept of stacking tickets. You know, you pull somebody over and then you find multiple
mm-hmm.
more things
yeah.
all there
yeah.
with their, you know, their lights out here, this, that, and the other. And so, it just, you know, it's more of that kind of thing, and it is a good look at what, when you compare it to the other towns and the other cities in Baldwin County, it really stands out, which Gabe does. He talks about some of the other cities and the level of ticket writing they have comparatively. It is, there's 10 officers in Summerdale, 4,000 tickets, do the math, you know, they're writing 400 tickets a person on average.
So, Rob, are they specifically targeting people who are from out of town? Are locals getting pulled over all the time? Is there any evidence of that?
I don't think we have enough data to say that.
Because sure. I would move. I mean, if I'm getting pulled over every other day, I don't think I would feel welcome in that town.
You know, the mayor talks extensively about how much traffic there is coming through there. So, you know, I think that there's definitely. there's definitely, I think, a focus on people who are passing through.
Right. Okay. It,
Rob, with this story and with the battle over pistol permits, they both involve revenue going to law enforcement. The pistol permits right. with sheriff's offices, this one with the Somerdale Police Department. If that revenue stream were to go away, whether Somerdale quit writing so many tickets or whether the pistol permit went away, they would have to they wouldn't just, you know, cut spending. No one does that. They would probably find that revenue another way by raising taxes or something, wouldn't they?
I mean, you'd think, you know, if you look at – I don't have the sheriff's numbers, I mean, you know, across the state offhand, but certainly like in Somerdale – Somerdale went from having 2 full-time officers to 10 full-time officers. So, you know, they've grown their department considerably on the back of writing a bunch of tickets. Mm-hmm. So, you know, is that the, I guess it's the old chicken or the egg argument, you know, do you need that many officers if all you're getting them for is to go write tickets to make more money for the city? You know, the same thing for sheriff's departments, I think in general. Budgets are growing, you know, it seems like budgets are growing across the board on just about everything. Do we need to have that much money? I think everybody argues they need as much money as they need.
Right.
I would argue that if we're going to put money anywhere right now, where we really need it is in the judiciary, and we need to get these people, you know, we need to get the trials in order. We need to get caught up. I mean, we're 5 years behind on murder trials in Mobile.
Amen.
You know, So, you know, those are areas where, I mean, from a law enforcement standpoint, as we talked about earlier, there are, you know, however many people, over 100 people in the community who are out on bond for murder. That, to me, would be a, you know, if you're looking at real law enforcement, getting those things adjudicated and people put in jail who deserve to be in jail, et cetera, that would make more sense to me than worrying about writing a bunch of tickets.
Yeah, same here. And good comparison here in Gabe's story. So he said in 2019, fiscal year 2019, Somerdale, the town budgeted more than $1.2 million for fines. They only collected $730,000. While at the same time, Daphne in 2020 budgeted around $323,000. And Daphne, obviously, a much larger city than Somerdale, but about a quarter of the budgets for fine. For expected fines.
Yeah, it's like police training basically involves teaching someone how to operate a radar gun. You're on your own.
You know, their area is fairly large and encompasses a lot of roadway. And, you know, it's I think when you look at, I mean, obviously, AL.com did their piece on you know, up in the north part, Brookhaven, mm-hmm. Brookwood, Brookhaven, I can't remember.
That's out of Birmingham.
They did a piece like that. Similarly, there's, you know, you look up there, there's speed trap going on. I think you could probably find them all over the state, these types of things and this type of policing going on. And it's just a good reminder that maybe they need to focus on some other things.
And interesting, Rob, how this ties into a big discussion with Mobile City Council and the traffic lights.
Right.
Because,
you know, do we want cameras writing us tickets? And that's, you know, that's another discussion we're having here in, you know, Mobile. Are we going to have red light cameras operated by a third party that has a profit motive in it?
Right.
Although you could probably argue that the police department in Somerdale appears to have a profit motive.
It appears
there's a profit motive for everybody, but it's, are we ready to have cameras writing tickets? I mean, you know, I think it gets off into an area where you kind of, you know, I mean, there's some claims that it would drastically reduce traffic accidents. I don't know I don't know where that sourcing comes from, but I mean, that by the same token, is it, you know, do you really want to be in that world where it's constantly something's watching you, writing you a ticket every time you do something? I mean, why not have cameras write us tickets for going 5 miles an hour over the speed limit? Mm-hmm. I mean, it just gets into kind of goes down a slippery slope, I think.
And, you know, it sounds like we looked into this a little bit to some of these other cities that have had these traffic lights. And what it seems they've found is that when they have these cameras at these intersections, T-bone accidents go down. This was Houston, Houston that we saw.
T-bone accidents go down with
the rear-end collisions go up because people are apparently slamming their brakes, worried about...
Right.
Personally, I would rather be rear-ended than T-boned, but I'd rather neither happen. It seems like the biggest issue most people are having with this is the private company's involvement, like you said.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the issue to me is a big part of it. But it's, you know, I mean, how many times are you driving down the road and you're like, oh, my gosh, it's a yellow light. And, you know, if I stop right now, I'm likely to cause an accident.
Mm-hmm.
And if I go through it, it's probably not going to be any chance of an accident.
Right.
And, you know, do you get a ticket there? So then, I mean, people are like, well, I'm slamming on the brakes, and then somebody slams into the back of them. Granted, you know, people who are just running red lights that have been red for a full second or two, and that's always a problem. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, it's easy to say, well, yeah, we'd like to stop that from happening, but, you know, the question of how you do those things, we could probably set up technology to do all sorts of things and stop people from speeding and stop people from doing a number of things. But is that the society we want to live in?
No. Dalton, wasn't there an explanation? We were given an explanation by law enforcement exactly where the line is as far as are you going to be charged for running a red light? Yeah, what was that explanation?
Well, the box, you know, in between all the different white lines there in the intersection, I think they said you have to have your first axle past the white line, then technically you didn't run the red light. But but I think we've all been in that situation that Rob was referencing there. Do you go or do you slam the brakes? And then when you have, you know, heavy equipment or children in the back seat,
right,
makes that decision even more difficult. I do, before we let you go, Rob, want to check in on one of the biggest stories Lanny F's broken here in these last couple of weeks, and that is what's going on with the Pritchard Water and Sewer Board. And District Attorney Ashley Rich held a presser on Friday, she and Gabe kind of a back and forth a little bit there.
Well, I mean, she came out and had a press conference and then spent the first item of her press conference trying to discredit a story we had that was basically reporting on a statement that Napoleon Bracey sent to a bunch of media. I don't really know why we were the brunt of that to begin with, but she was wrong. She's completely wrong about it. It was a written statement. She says she called him and he said he didn't say it. I don't know if she called him and he said he didn't say it. That's fine, but it doesn't change the fact that he wrote that her department wasn't moving very fast on this. You know, I think it's just one of those situations where she was very defensive, and she's defensive, I think, because her department has been really lackluster when it comes to these white collar crimes and when it comes to these boards. We've reported on several of these things over the last 10 years, and there's almost never any movement from the district attorney's office.
So if you had to guess, you think anyone pays for this? Does anyone go down for this? I don't see how they wouldn't.
Well, I think at this point you've got a district attorney's election coming up. It's a political football, and the fact that the documents are out there, that we've published these documents, and now at this point so the TV stations have done so as well, it's a little different situation because people can actually see what has gone on. And I think it's a lot harder situation for them to just let it slide off into oblivion, which has been the situation in the past. I think somebody's going to have to investigate this and do something about it because, it's going to be a tough thing for Keith Blackwood to run against, run for district attorney with this hanging over his head as somebody who's in that department, in that office, in that organization, if they're not doing something about it.
One last question. Is the attorney general, is he getting involved, Marshall?
I mean, the claim is yes, but, you know, real quickly, guys, if you believe what the people from the water board said and they sent these letters out, you know, and they said they sent them to the district attorney's office, they sent it to the attorney general's office and sent it to the ethics commission. Mm-hmm. Well, we know they at least sent it to the ethics commission. Somewhere along the line, if that indeed happened, nobody's talking to anybody about this. You know, there's letters coming out saying there's financial crime going on and nobody's talking to one another about it.
Okay. Out of time, Rob.
It's
all right, guys.
What a
Y'all
crazy
have a great weekend.
You too, Rob. What a crazy story there. And I do encourage people to sign up, lanyapmobile.com. We appreciate your time, Rob.
All right. Have a great one.
Bye. All righty.
Rob Holbert, lanyapmobile.com. And how about when we come back, we wrap up this birthday edition of Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Happy birthday, Dan.
Hail me. FM Talk 106.5. Well, so preview the Jeff Poor Show, which is on the way next in about 12 minutes.
Thanks, Kane. 855 on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for starting your Thursday with Mobile Mornings.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you. You're starting to sound like a famous gentleman on USA Radio News. It goes by the name of Lance Pride. But, hey, this segment brought to you by our good friends over at 1-800-GOT-JUNK and online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Jennifer is a customer of Got Junk. Here is the review she left. On time, professional, fast, caring, and cost-effective. The two young men that helped me empty the house after my mom passed away were heaven sent. Thank you. That is one review there from Jennifer, but I have a stack here of dozens and dozens of people who are completely and more than satisfied with the work that 1-800-GOT-JUNK did when they came over. The pricing is up front. What they quote you is what you'll end up paying. No surprise charges after the fact. They'll come to your home or your place of business. They'll work out with you a good time to come over. And if it works for them, they'll call you before they're on their way. And, Dan, you don't even have to be at the property, right?
No. I was gone. I was heading out of town, and they took care of everything I needed.
Yeah, took care of it and did it right. So call them today. Set up your appointment, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or you can do the same thing online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
By the way, I'm friends with Lance Pride on Facebook.
No, you're not.
I'm not.
Uh-huh.
Mo Brooks makes a return appearance in the studio today with Jeff Poor.
That's right.
He'll be on a 10 o'clock hour also. Huey Haas Mack, Baldwin County Sheriff, will be on at 10:30 among the guests on the Jeff Poor Show today.
And in the 11 o'clock hour, Shay Garrigan with the Alabama Cannabis Industry Association. And interesting stuff happening in Montgomery regarding hemp plants and marijuana. And really, most of it, not great news for the marijuana companies around the state. So Senate Bill 144 would ban all products made using full spectrum CBD and hemp that contains any level of THC. And the thing is, those products are still legal federally, but they're thinking about making them illegal in Alabama. Mm. Now, some of these CBD, whether it's tinctures or the actual pre-roll joints or the vapes or balms, whatever, a lot of them have like the slightest bit of THC in them. And well, THC, of course, is the
stuff that makes you high.
It's the stuff that makes you high.
So how about the gummies?
Gummies, some of those have just the slightest bit of THC in them.
Somebody gave me one time, and I was like stoned out of my mind.
Well, that may
and
have
I wasn't
been
expecting that.
That may have been a Delta 8, which is also under the gun right here. Delta 8, one of the variants of the hemp plant. I guess traditionally, your traditional Snoop Dogg weed would be Delta. Someone help me on the text line. I get my numbers confused. Delta 9. I guess.
I smelled some of that at a grocery store parking lot yesterday.
So they called Delta 8 Weed Light.
Uh-huh.
And that may have been the gummy that you received there.
Okay.
So they're talking about banning that, which would be one thing. But a lot of people have issue with them banning the slight little bit of THC that is in some of the CBD. In a lot of those cases, that does not get people high. But it's part of, you know, they couldn't extract all of it or some reason or another. Lanyap spoke with someone who said this is just going to kill their business. Having it legal in other states and not legal for them is just a killer. So we'll see what happens.
Like the lottery.
Like the lottery.
It's all around you, but it's not here.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Hey, happy birthday.
Thank you very much. Getting some, I guess I'm look over the text line here. Got some birthdays there.
John says, happy birthday, Dan, and then put a bunch of candles. He said, I hope that's enough candles for you. I think, what is 40, 45?
I told, I'm 64, but I feel like I'm 59 and a half.
Nice.
And was hit by a truck. Jeff Poor is next. Dan and Dalton tomorrow. The celebration will be over by then.
No way.
FM 12 106.5. Way.